Good morning. Good to see everyone here. Good to see our visitors and our members out today. So welcome everyone. Glad that we're all meeting together with the church that meets here at Ashley Heights. I'd like to say I hope that the time passes for us profitable and that we can learn a lot from the Word of God. I hope you would listen more to the Word of God than to me. My comments are the least important in this lesson. If I do say anything that is incorrect against the Word of God, that you would be my friend to correct me. It would be a fearful thing for me to stand before God wrong, that I have taught incorrectly. But my lesson today that I wanted to focus on is that life is short. And the Bible has, if you look, there's a lot of different passages that teach us that we need to look at our lives and consider, what is our purpose? What are we doing here? And what are we doing with our time that we have? And the Bible consistently will indicate us in many passages in the Old and New Testament that life is indeed short. We'll begin with a quotation. This is from Richard Bach. And he says, "Here's the test to find whether your mission on earth is finished. If you're alive, it isn't." And I thought that was a very fitting quote. If you know who I'm talking about, just give some background. He was a writer. He was also a pilot in the Air Force. He wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He's actually still alive today, and he's still working, still flying. You can go and read about how he flies. So he may be living up to his statement. As far as religiously, I don't know his version of what his purpose is in life. He said he didn't believe in marriage and was actually divorced 3 times. But for our purposes today, we want to look at, we want to continue with our purpose as long as we're alive, continue to serve God as long as we have life. And I have this quotation, because this is how some people may look at it. You know, well, I don't believe in God, so I'm going to do whatever I can with my life, as I have that focused upon. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And that's considering there's no God, there's no resurrection. So, you know, this is what we have to live for, and that's what some people come up with. You know, they ask the question often, you know, what's really the point of life? That, unfortunately, is their answer. And the contrast is Revelation 2:10, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation." And the focus you notice I have here is, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." And so I have to ask the question, as many people have throughout life, so what should I do with my life? Some say, you know, as we pointed out, you know, live it up. Well, you can. Some people do make that focus of their life to make money as much as they can. And a lot of times the rich find out, you know, how empty it is. You know, just the pursuit of wealth. And as we'll see, many passages point out, you know, ultimately you can't take it with you. You know, are you going to trust science? Well, you can. A lot of people do. You even have cases of people that have gone to the point of saying, well, I'm just going to freeze myself in hopes of one day finding a cure. They may find a cure for something that's ailed me, so maybe I can get a couple more years of life left. Because even that, they can't live forever. Nobody can. Are you going to have some fear and self-pity? As King Hezekiah did, and he prayed to the Lord, and he granted him 15 more years, which turned out to be not very profitable for him in the end. But what we want to do, we want to say, what is the biblical view? And I believe the Bible is going to help us with this. And I'm going to focus for a little bit on Ecclesiastes 12:1. It's a very good passage, and it says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them." So let's take a little deeper look at that passage. So I have that blown up here. And what I want to do is go through some of these words and focus in on them so we can dig a little deeper in what this passage is telling us. First, it starts out saying, remember, to tell us to remember. And this specific case is calling us, we recognize that memory affects conduct. is what it's telling us. That based upon our knowledge, it's a decisive action that we take. It's not simply that we remember it in our mind. And I want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19. And this is where Hannah was wishing for a son. Verse 19 says, "They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her." And this isn't that God had forgotten and said, "Oh yeah, I remember Hannah wanted a child." He acted decisively on her behalf based upon her prayer. And so we see in that case how memory affected the conduct. 2 Chronicles 24 in verse 22, we have a negative example in this case. And this is where we have a prophet who was stoned. And it says, "Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him, but killed his son. And when he was dying, he said, 'May the Lord see and avenge.'" And if you would have asked him, do you remember Jehoiada? He said, "Oh yeah, I remember him. He saved my life." But in this case, he didn't act upon that memory. He acted by killing his son. I have also, remember your Creator. We need to recognize that you are not your own. We did not, as some people say, we are created from an explosion, some would argue, which is just really nonsensical in itself. But Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." That every human on earth was created by the Lord God. We did not create ourselves. In Ephesians 2:5 says, "Even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So if you're a Christian, God in a sense has a double claim on you. Not only did He create you, but we have said that I am going to follow you, I'm going to be obedient to you, I'm going to love you as my Father, and I will do your will. And it's He who saved us. And continuing to look at the scripture, we're going to look at, it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." There's something very valuable about youthful piety, that you start early learning about God and learning to do His will. And in 2 Peter 2:14, we begin with a negative example this time of what can happen. And it says, "They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin, that entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children. That as you practice things longer, they become stronger." So unfortunately, some, even from their youth, if they're trained improperly, this is something they practice at. Can you imagine, you just continually practice at getting evil, you're going to get better at it. And that's an unfortunate thing. Now our contrast is 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. This is speaking to Timothy. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And so that's a very good lesson for all of us. Hopefully we have grown up with this, and we want to teach our children it as well. And so the passage continues on and points out the days of youth before the evil days come, and the years draw near, of which you say, "I have no pleasure in them." That all of us, if the Lord grants us our lives, we will all succumb to old age. there's a time that things happen to us that our physical bodies, a lot of things are going to be difficult, more difficult as we get older. In 2 Samuel, verse 19, beginning of verse 31, now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogelim, and he went on with the king to the Jordan to escort him over the Jordan. Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with food while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. And so King David wanted to repay him. And the king said to Barzillai, come over with me, and I will provide for you with me in Jerusalem. So he invited him to come even live at the king's house. But Barzillai said to the king, how many years have I still to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern what is pleasant and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? So that physical things that start to go away. Can I listen to the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? He may even say, well, the king may have to shout louder at me so that I might hear. But that's something that happens. Ecclesiastes 12:1, where we looked at that at times there's that fading capacity for joy that may happen. As it says, when you will say, the years draw nigh, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. There's a lot of things that Ecclesiastes goes into about the eyes, and your teeth, the grinders, all these different things that may happen as you get older, part of the physical. And some people may have gardened in their youth, and they may have played sports or racquetball, and they may not have that joy anymore. So while we're young, we need to focus on seeking God. So that may serve us in the long run. 1 Peter 1, beginning of verse 24, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. There's only so long our flesh will last. But the word of the Lord abides forever. The word is the good news which was preached to you. So that should be our ultimate focus in life. As it says, before things get difficult, before the years come upon us, Lord willing, what I want to do is continue on and look at four things. There's more I'm sure you might draw from scriptures, but I want to look at some four things that we can draw from scripture to teach us about our lives, our purpose in life. First, recognize that life passes by quickly. And second, realize that we only have so long to work for God. That there is a time that passes and it will end, that we don't have forever. Know that our purpose doesn't consist in things. As we saw earlier, some people may have tons of riches and treasures, but will that really serve them in the long run? And know that we only have so long for forgiveness and repentance. And we're going to look at both sides of that for ourselves, that we need to have time to repent, make ourselves right with God, only so long that we can to forgive others, maybe some wrongs they have done to us, that there isn't time to hold grudges. And so hopefully this will give us the focus in life that we need. The first point I want us to consider is recognize that life passes by quickly. Psalm 19:12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. We need to realize how quickly life can pass. And I think all of us can see that. You know, when we look at pictures, you know, a lot of times pictures tell a story. We can look at them and say, hey, I kind of remember when I was that young. Or we look back and say, you know, just the other day I remember I was in high school. And now here I am with children and a family. And some may even go further than that. and say, you know, that was just yesterday. But and when we're living in it, we don't realize sometimes how quickly it can pass by. And how did we use that time? And so the Lord is telling us, hopefully we'd get a heart of wisdom to consider that. Psalm 39, 4-5 says, O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. And so, I know recently I had went to a coworker, had lost her father, and I went to a funeral, and he was at a gun range cleaning his gun, and maybe didn't realize it was loaded, and it went off, and he died. And I'm sure that was not in his mind at all. He had maybe done that 100 times, cleaned his gun 100 times, and didn't even think that this one time that maybe he wasn't careful, it was going to be his last. And he didn't expect that. And I'm sure his children may have thought, if only I had a few more years. But it can happen very quickly. So we need to seek the wisdom from God. He knows us better than anyone. And his instructions will hopefully settle our minds, and we can focus upon him. The second point I want us to look at is realize we only have so long to work for God. James 4, beginning in verse 13, says, Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. We take a look at this. The scripture gives us some insight that this is a boastful saying. There's arrogance in the attitude of these people that are saying this. They're already spending and counting up their money before they've even made it, before they've even made it to the city. They've already said, you can see, if you want to insert, we will go into each of these, you can kind of see the arrogance even in there. It says, we will go to such a town. We will spend a year there. We will trade, and we will make a profit. And the scripture points out, yet you do not know. And that first, as it says in the verse, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, first we will live. That God gives us our life, and then we will do this and that. And as the scripture points out, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. But hopefully it would be the right thing, it'd be a good thing according to God. And so this arrogance and assuming is not the right attitude to have. And Lord, he gives us ultimately the time on earth that we do have. In Matthew 24, beginning at verse 14, we have a parable, and it says, begins with, For it will be like a man going on a journey, and that's God, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away, and he expected them to work. We see the differences in all the different men, what they did with what they were given, the time that they had. And we see, after he gave them talents and went away, we see in verse 16, he had received the 5 talents, went at once and traded with them. So he began right away to work. He didn't spend time as the last man did. He spent time digging, and then he just sat on it. He didn't do anything else. But in verse 19, as we get on down there, it says, Now after a long time, there is some time that passed, but the master of those servants, he came, and he settled accounts with them. And so the time is short, and it will end. And so are we working for God for that time? We can't expect that it's going to be forever. Oh, I can do that tomorrow. The third point I want us to look at is know that our purpose doesn't consist in things. You know, it's easy to be consumed with the world and its goods that are in here. You know, we can see this sometimes with the very rich, that a lot of times they're never satisfied. And the scriptures tell us, you know, life isn't ultimately about the things that are in it. You know, we can see this in a lot of things in the world, that man's really good at multiplying things. There's a lot of collections and collectors out there. And there's a lot of things that really demonstrate this well. The one example that I know of, because I'm familiar with it, is if you want to see this really displayed well, is in a trading card game. I used to play Magic the Gathering, and you can see every so often they'll keep bringing out more and more packs, and you think, well, if I just get these, I'll have them all. They kept bringing out more and more, keep changing the rules, and things just keep on happening. You think, well, if I just keep buying these, I'll eventually have it all, but it never happens. And I want to look at Luke 12 and considering this, beginning in verse 15. And Jesus is telling this parable. In verse 15 he says, "And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And we can see this. I want to point out a couple things here. That first of all, as Jesus points out, some people say, oh, why shouldn't I want more or want other things that people have? You need to guard against that, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And to demonstrate this, he tells this parable. And first recognize, this man is already rich. He's already got quite a bit. As it says, the land of a rich man. He's got land, he's rich. But as I said, the rich, they want more, produce plentifully, so he's getting even more. And so, his assessment isn't, you know, God has blessed me, what should I do? He says, what should I do? I'm nowhere. He's got barns. I'm going to have even bigger barns. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And so that's the first conversation he has. He says with himself, as we see, he thought to himself, what shall I do? So he has that first. And his second conversation he has with himself, he says, I will say to my soul, instead of saying, I will say to himself, I think the word choice is very interesting. Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Then we have what God comes in and tells him. He says, but God said to him, fool. And so he says, this night your soul is required of you. This man had thought, you know, I've got many years, you know, in fact, I've got the goods to show for it. And God says, no, this night. And it can be gone just like that. All those riches that he had prepared, he didn't prepare his soul. He's talking to his soul. He says, you have all these goods prepared. Oh, you know, why not just relax? And God says, your soul is required of you. How have you prepared for that? You've prepared to live for many years. To his assessment was, you know, I've prepared for many years to what? Relax, eat, drink, be merry. And so God ends. I just wanted to bring this up, that ultimately he should have known. Ecclesiastes 5:15 says, as he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand. So you can't take it with you. There's that. And then we see the conclusion. So is the one who lays up for treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And in all those conversations this man had with himself, you know, what once did he say anything about God or what he should be doing for God? You don't see that enter into this man's mind. that what we do have is from God. And I believe Ecclesiastes 5, look at this, 18 to 19 shows this. Ultimately, what we do have is from God, that what we do have, we can enjoy what we do have, but not to be covetous and not to be overly concerned with getting rich. 5:18 says, "Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun, the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them, and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God." Recognize where it came from and what we should be doing with it. My last point I want us to consider is that know that we only have so long for forgiveness and repentance. That hopefully through our lives we will end up focusing on the more important things and realizing that the scriptures point out it's short and what we should be doing with it. Acts 17:30 says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." That in the end, there will be a resurrection of the dead, and there's going to be the judgment. And where will we stand? Have we repented? Have we done what we needed to do? Made ourselves right with God? And this goes for Christians and non-Christians. And especially the non-Christians who have not named the name of God, have not chosen to follow him. Mark 11:25 says, "In considering forgiveness, and whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." That we should have a heart of forgiveness. And as the scripture says, "And whenever you stand praying," so it seems to suggest all the time, if you have anything against anyone, you need to forgive, so that the Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. You know, do we hold grudges? You know, how long are we going to hold on to our grudges? We don't know our end. And as the scripture points out, you know, who of us can say, "Oh, well, I don't need God's forgiveness"? And so we need to focus on those things. And considering that our life is short. I hope this lesson has been profitable to you. I hope that I've learned as well from God's word. But I wanted to end, if you bear with me, I'll read all of Psalm 49. Because I think a lot of the points in Psalm 49 have a lot of bearing upon this concept. And it says, "Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. What should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others." And continuing on, verse 11, "Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names." And we can see that passing by in a lot of examples with men dying. They may have called things after their names. That's gone. You know, the Indians, when they were here in America, they may have thought, "Oh, we've named all the lands." We know that has changed. "Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beast that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them," this is the unfortunate part, "yet after them people approve of their boasts." And some people want to follow in that same path. "Like sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell." But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though, while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. And so let that not be us. I want to finish with this scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, in a favorable time I have listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so if you're here and you're not a Christian, the Bible says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you understand what that means and would like to be baptized, we're here. The baptistry is ready to help you. If you don't understand what that means, we'd be glad to study with you. If you're a Christian here and you've fallen away, if there's anything we can do for you, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.